Good morning, everybody. Welcome to St. Abbotsford. For those who are online, my name's Fiona, for those of you who don't know me. And today we are going to have Adele, Rosemary, Linda and Junglan for musicians. Junglan will be leading us with the prayers as well. And it's a real delight for all of us to be able to meet together. The start of the week makes a big impact on how we live the rest of the week. And having God as our focus at the start of the week is setting us in a very, very solid, good place to start. We come together because we know the love and life of Jesus, and we want to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Later, Trevor will be bringing us a message from the book of John, and if you'd like to now just give us a very short little taster.
Will do, Fiona, thank you. We come to the end of our little sermon series on through Easter, today with the end of the Gospel of John. And again, it's a little interesting why that story is there of Jesus' encounter with Peter. It's another resurrection appearance. It's a few weeks after, and the disciples have gone fishing, and they see the Lord. But Jesus and Peter have some business to do, and the story there is a reminder of the love of God, as Fiona's mentioned earlier on, of the love of God that he has towards us in Christ Jesus. Thanks, Fiona.
This month, our mission focus is going to be on the ministry to Thailand with the Thomases. We've been connected with those missionaries for a long time, and it's a great blessing for us to be involved in ministry together with them. And we'll also be praying for Anglican Defence Force and the chaplaincy who work there. Our sentence of scripture for today comes from 1 John. That's the taster for the sermon later. But coming to the sentence of scripture, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That is a beautiful reminder that we come together because God has first worked in our life. He's loved us. And how can we not love him back and declare his praises? Please stand as we sing together. We declare the praises of Jesus, Saviour and King.
So we declare the praises of Jesus, Saviour and King. He is the cornerstone, hallelujah. And now we stand as his church until the day when he comes in glory, hallelujah.
like to turn around and greet people around you, welcome those who are here today. It's lovely to have everyone here with us. And if you'd like to sit down, please, that'd be lovely. Each week when we come here to church, we come with a very specific purpose. We want to meet with God. We want to take part in the building of His church. And we're reminded in the scriptures, Christ Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live for righteousness. That's a challenge every day that we are believers. It is not an easy thing, dying to sin and living for righteousness. In fact, without God's help, we can't even recognize our sins. So we're just going to take a quiet moment now to allow God to speak to us before we acknowledge our failure to serve Him as He deserves. By Jesus' wounds, we have been healed. So with confidence and faith, let us acknowledge our failure to serve Him as He deserves. Let us return to God with repentance and faith. And please join with me in praying together. Heavenly Father, You have loved us with an everlasting love. But we have often gone our own way and rejected Your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of Your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By Your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for You and to please You in every way. For the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Psalm 103, we are reminded, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for all who fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. So have confidence that there is no condemnation. God forgives us in Jesus Christ, who shed His blood for us. Amen. Give praise to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done. We're about to hear from God's word, and this is a great privilege, the words of the living God. And in order to help us, I'd like to lead us in a prayer first, that we can focus really well, and please join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, You want to speak to us. We ask that You would give us faith to receive Your word. Help us understand it and know what it means. And help us choose to put it into practice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You might like to turn to your devices or Bibles to John 21, 1 to 25, as Irene now comes up to read for us.
Hello, everyone. So we open our Bible to John chapter 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of your boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to hold the net in because of the large number of the fish. Then the disciples, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that a disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is the word of the Lord.
God's plan is that in everything, Jesus has the supremacy. So I'd like to invite you to stand, and as we affirm from Colossians about who Jesus is, that you really reflect on these very powerful words from God explaining just how amazing Jesus is. Please stand. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen. Please have a seat. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone, again, and welcome to church, and for those listening in as well, and for any visitors that are here today. Please open up your Bibles to John chapter 21, and thank you, Irene. Well read. Very well read. I could feel the shaking, but well read. Very well done. That's your first time. Good. Let me pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, you speak to us through your word, the Bible. You've given to us your Holy Spirit, and he guides us into truth. Please help me to teach your word correctly. And may we experience your Spirit guiding us into truth, applying it to our lives. For we ask this for your glory, and we want to be made more and more like your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, the title for this sermon, the last one in our sermon series for over Easter, is Jesus Loves. Jesus Loves. And it's from John 21, verses 1 to 25. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. One of the joys of being married to Rosemary, and there are many joys amongst many things, is making up after we've had an argument. We know that we love each other, but an argument clouds the feeling. There is regret, and there is a longing for reconciliation, confession, forgiveness and repentance. In fact, I think we'd all agree being reconciled to those we love is what we long for and know we should. It saddens me to know of people who are not willing to seek reconciliation, who are not willing to confess a wrong to another, to ask for forgiveness, or equally be unwilling to forgive another. I know of children now in their adult years who profess to be Christians who refuse to forgive their parents, who refuse to accept their parents' request to them to forgive them. Those parents have never seen their grandchildren. And those grandchildren have never seen their grandparents. If there is no longing for reconciliation after an argument with those we love, no effort and willingness to apologize and to forgive, then truly there is no love for the other. And for the Christian, are yet to understand what we pray for when we ask of God in the Lord's Prayer, Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Have we not understood that in that prayer we're asking God to forgive us our sins towards Him on the basis, on the condition that we forgive those who sin against us? As the scriptures remind us from Colossians, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know all things, Peter replied. You know that I love you. When we lived in at San Susi, I woke up one morning to find all my chickens had been killed by a fox. I thought about getting a rooster, and many other things as well about the fox. With the next lot of chickens, I thought, yes, a big rooster, that would be good, but local council regulations wouldn't allow, and I don't think my neighbours would have been too happy either. Did you know that in Christian tradition, the rooster has been a reminder of God's love found in repentance and forgiveness? From early time, roosters were carved into the walls of cathedrals. Sometimes something people can still see, I understand, as they travel around Europe and see and look at the cathedrals. In all of the four Gospels that we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, just before he is betrayed and put on trial, Jesus tells the disciples that they will all fall away. They will all deny him on account of him. And it's here where we understand and appreciate our Lord's question of Peter in our reading this morning, Simon, son of John, do you love me? For immediately, after telling them that they will all fall away on a part of him, you may remember, Peter replied to Jesus, do you remember? Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. How often have we said that to Jesus in our own confident moments? Jesus said to Peter, Peter, truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. But we know, don't we? Peter did indeed deny any relationship, any association he had with Jesus. In fact, he denied him three times. And upon doing so, the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said. Before the rooster crows, Peter, you will deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly, the scriptures tell us. Peter was a broken man. Repentance, regret, humility, seeking forgiveness and the effort to change is often actually expressed emotionally in a broken spirit. And the scriptures remind us, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. For the Lord is compassionate and gracious, Psalm 103 reminds us, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him. Prompted by the love of God in Christ Jesus towards him, Peter repented and experienced grace and forgiveness in that moment with his Lord. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you, was his reply. Our Lord's reply to Peter was, feed my sheep, wasn't it? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Sometimes we can take it for granted that we, those who have fallen by the way in regards to their relationship with Jesus, are to be dismissed. And I think this is why the story there is also at the end of the gospel, to remind the church, Peter, despite what you've done, I appoint you to teach and to lead the church. And for the church to accept Peter and his words through, and God's words through Peter in the scriptures. I take it that again, why that story also is there at the end of the gospel as well. Forgiveness, reconciliation, is knowing you are loved by God and that you love God too. Despite what we've done or despite what we've failed to do. This message is a powerful and reassuring message. It's the message of the gospel. It's the message of Christians. It's the message of God. It's the message of the church. God's love extends in pardon to sinners who repent and believe the gospel. He who is forgiven much will love much. Lord, you know I love you, was Peter's response. May that be ours too each day as we experience and appreciate the love of God in Christ Jesus towards us, in forgiveness and repentance. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this journey through Easter, where we began by seeing your Son deliberately go to face the cross, to take the punishment, to take what was blocking us from being friends with you forever, our sin. You, Jesus, willingly, though without sin, went to the cross and took that. That's why we call it Good Friday, and we say thank you. To prove to us, Lord Jesus, that what you did was true and effective for all who believe in you. You were raised from the dead and appeared for many days, as our story is another one of those. And you've given authority now and commandment to your apostles who witnessed all this, to teach it, to preach it, and to lead the church, and for us to actually listen and believe. For Jesus, you did many other miracles in the sight of your apostles, but these have been written by them that we may believe that you, Jesus, are the Christ, the one who has reconciled us to yourself. And we say truly, truly, we are truly thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Please. please stand as we sing together about the one name, the one person through whom we are redeemed, through whom grace abounds. Into a time of prayer, so please sit or kneel, whatever is most helpful for you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Yung Lan's now going to lead us in more prayers for the world, the community, and the church.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and to give us to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and meditation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We thank you for your infinite love and forgiveness through your Son. And we are here to rejoice, God, your mercy and your love today. Now we pray for our world. We pray for all those who are persecuted for their faith around the world. We pray for Afghanistan. In Gishan area, the Taliban is conducting a door-to-door search for Christians, having received information as to their whereabouts and identities. If they are found, the Taliban will kill them on the spot. Father, we pray for the protection of secret believers and that God will bring hope to their hearts. That we also pray for those who have fled will be led to places where all their needs are met. Now we pray for North Korea. We pray that the Holy Spirit will pour peace and strength into believers held in labor camps, that those who gather in secret will be protected from the eyes of the authorities, and the North Korean regime will allow the country to be helped by the wider world. Please have mercy on them. Amen. We pray for Australia. Almighty God, you rule the earth in love, and your word reminds us that rulers govern by your wisdom. We thank you that with stable democracy in Australia, we have relative peace and prosperity. Forgive us for ever taking such things for granted. Give to those in authority determination to defend the principles of freedom and justice, strength to safeguard the innocent and the poor, and clarity of vision to be peacemakers in our world. Protect the leaders, Prime Minister Albanese, Premier Chris Minns, and all MPs from corruption and temptation of self-serving. Enable them to make realistic promises and help them keep their word. We continue to pray for the protection of Christian education and religious freedom in this country. We also pray for those whose basic needs are not met at this time. We pray that your justice and equity reigns in this country. We pray in the name of Jesus, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Amen. We pray for our missionaries, particularly lift up the Thomases into your hands. We give thanks for their first full country team conferences since 2019 and pray for effective follow-up. Pray for wisdom and discernment for Shine as he works on some important research in Thailand. Pray for Jessica as she travels to Myanmar between 18th April and 3rd of May for Bible translation work. Give thanks for Uzrin's 15th birthday and pray for his advanced placement end of high school exam. Pray for rain and easing of air pollution. Lastly, we pray for Tamim's best friend called Vincent, who started coming to church every Sunday. Give thanks to Vincent's mom's faith and pray for his salvation. We also pray and praise for 40 baptisms of new Christians over the last 6 months in the local church of people from the big country. Please bless their work in Christ. Amen. We pray for Anglicare Defence Chaplaincy. Thank you for the Australian Defence Force chaplains who provide pastoral, spiritual and emotional support for service personnel, including the conduct of religious service at sea, on base or in the field. We pray that as they minister, that they will be able to meet the spiritual and welfare needs of uniformed people serving in the armed forces. We also pray that they too may find spiritual strength and wisdom from you to minister effectively to those who go through the trauma and PTSD. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Father God, we now pray for our local church. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ in this church who follow and serve you faithfully. We thank you for the leadership in our church. Thank you for Trevor Young, our senior pastor, for his enthusiasm and passion for Christ, his genuine expression of love for Christ and fellow Christians. Please strengthen him and grant him your wisdom. We also thank you for the Passover dinner we had in our church, prepared by Rosemary and Trevor with love. Thank you for their service and fellowship we shared. We thank you for all visitors who came to our Easter service. We pray that you will prompt them to reflect on your son's death and resurrection and encourage them to come back to our church. We thank you for the children in our church and all those who serve. Please help them to know your heart and your love for them. Pray that you will add also in numbers. We praise you for all those who serve you faithfully every week. Now we pray for all those who need comfort due to loss and grief of loved ones, encouragement and recovery from sickness or surgeries in our congregation. You might like to take a minute and just pray in silence for them. May they be restored to health of body, mind, and spirit according to your will, Lord. Please help us to focus on you and your saving power through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. Loving God, without you, we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray together that Christ will give us a share in his glory. God our Father, may we look forward with hope to the resurrection, for you have made us your sons and daughters and restored the joy of our youth. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. It's now time for some family business. Welcome everyone who's here today and those listening online. And there's a few different things in your notice sheet. There's going to be a Mother's Day breakfast coming up. Please sign up for that at the back. And while Trevor's coming down, I'd like to remind you also about the Equip conference in the middle of June that, again, signing up at the back. And thank you for those who have signed up for rosters, May to July. Today's the deadline to let Janice know your dates available.
Thanks, Fiona. Yes, there's a dinner coming up next Saturday. Men, if you are able to join me, it's a formal dinner here. It'll be catered for. Please put your name at the back of the church there on the sheet of paper if you're able to come along. And you'll get some information during the week as to more details coming in. Thanks, Fiona.
That might not be what we're having for breakfast, but just another reminder of the Mother's Day breakfast. Right, there you go. And I'd like to lead us in a prayer for the offertory that we just give back to God a bit of what he's already given us. Please join me in prayer. Father, all that we have comes from you. Thank you for enabling us to continue to support the work of people hearing about Jesus, both locally and further afield. Thank you for this opportunity and for the freedom you give us to be able to support ministry and be a part of it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. After the service, if anyone would like prayer for anything, Coral and Brian will be down the front here and would love to pray for you. After the formal part of the service finishes, where people are free to go and have some morning tea and mingle together, can we encourage you to spread out if it's not raining outside, or if it is raining, in the back of the church as well as in the foyer area, so that we have good distancing and space. That would be helpful for everyone. Our scripture today: this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What a great joy that is. For Christians, our only hope is in Jesus, and our final song is going to remind us of that. So can I invite you to stand as we come to sing, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me."
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven not to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love. Sure, the
Please have a seat. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, in your patience and love, in your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts, words, and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.